that says we will never, ever, ever push for an offering. And this is not part of pushing. I'm just testifying to you. And the Lord made a way. He made a way again and again. He came through over and over and over and over and over. And if anybody ever came to that church or to this one, no matter what our needs were, that wasn't put in the forefront. What was put in the forefront was the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And the Lord took care of everything else. He's convinced me that we can do that, even with great needs. Amen. So we want to thank you for just being faithful, listening to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, being generous in your heart. The Lord promised to bless you for it. I'm thanking you for it. He's going to do better than that. He said, I'll bless you for it. Can you say amen? Would you bow your head today? I told you before that I would do mighty things, saith the Spirit of God. I told you to wait until you see the things that I am prepared to do in behalf of those and through those whose hearts are perfect toward me. Continue to bow before me in all that you do. Yea, saith God, that I may not only bless you, but make you a blessing to many. Be still and know that I am God. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. For all that I have promised, I will bring to pass, saith the Spirit of God. Somebody give him praise in this room today. Everything. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I told you I was excited about this week because that's how we ended last week. Praise God. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, bless this offering. Bless the gift and the giver and bless our hearts, Lord, as we open them to receive your word in the name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said amen and amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We ask you to keep praying for a little radio station that almost got sold that we are on in North Florida called WMAF that we have been on for, I don't know, 14, 15 months now. And we're on this morning at noon, from noon until 1, whatever's happening live here in the church. Live services are being sent there that will be aired from 12 until 1. We have a wonderful Methodist lady who said she rushes home from her service to get the part of that broadcast, and we're glad to hear that from Madison. We've heard from a guy in West Virginia who the station got struck by lightning and was off the air for a while, and he called him up and said, I don't want to miss my broadcast, and it was our broadcast, and we're grateful for that. That feedback that we have gotten, they've had people come by the station in Madison. A family came by and came into the station and thanked them for carrying the broadcast, and we're grateful for that. That just doesn't normally happen. I've never done that, and I've enjoyed a lot of radio ministry. I've never went to the station and said thank you for carrying it. We're grateful for that. There's a restaurant in Madison where they take the masters and that stack up after a while and give them away free, and people just grab them and take them, and we're grateful for that. Lord, give us an open door through radio ministry. And not only that, but there's an audience through the computer because it's an online station that hear it. There's already a listening audience down in Australia that has already acknowledged that they listen to WMAF faithfully. Well, if they're listening to WMAF, they're going to get Let's Talk About Jesus. Amen. And so we're happy to be ministering literally out of this little humble setting. It's always been a poor boy's lunch ministry. God has taken something that looks like it's not near enough to do what he's done with it and done wonderful things with it. Don't forget that we're on the air. And we're on the air consistently and faithfully. And God is sending his word wherever he wants it to go. When we went on the air, we acclaimed Psalm 107 and verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. So that's how shall they believe upon him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall he go except he be sent? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Pray the Lord of the harvest. Jesus said that he would send laborers into the field. For the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Isaiah said, here am I in the presence of God. Here am I. Send me. Amen? Praise God. I'm glad. You know what apostle means? Did you know what it means? We put all kinds of connotations on apostle. It's very simple and practical. Sent ones. Can you say amen? Those that God himself has sent. Now, I'm not an apostle. I'm just a preacher, a pastor, an under-shepherd, a bell sheep. I've used your example 100 times to describe what a pastor is supposed to be. I'm a sheep following Jesus with the bells, ding, 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 amen, encouraging the rest of the sheep, as Paul said, to follow me as I follow Christ. That's the bell sheep concept right there, amen, hallelujah. And I love the Lord today. Make no bones about it. I'm anxious to get into this service, but don't forget to pray for the radio ministry. God honors prayer. And we just want to saturate these broadcasts with prayer so that it will go where God wants to send it. Praise the Lord. All right, I'm going to go back to our springboard scripture in Genesis 17. I want you to read it with me together today in verse 1 through 7. Because everything we're talking about in this series on the covenant is separated by new and old covenant. Now, we've been doing a lot of balancing before we get into the promises and privileges of having God as your covenant friend. Because we need to understand that covenant people can take for granted all of these blessings and benefits. It's easy when you have this kind of blessing from the Lord to take it for granted. When God brought them into the land of milk and honey, amen, into Canaan land, he gave them a warning. He said, you're going to dig iron ore out of those mountains, and you're going to get literally, you're going to be blessed all over the place. Amen. Your rains are going to come in their season. You're going to have bumper crops. It is a land that flows with milk and honey. God is going to bless you exceedingly. You can almost see a parallel in the way he's blessed America in the past. Amen. But with that blessing came a very strong and stern warning to balance so people wouldn't take it for granted. And there's a beware in the book that says, beware lest out after you built your houses, after you have really been blessed materially. Amen. And you are eaten and art full. Beware when you are enjoying all of these promised blessings that I want to bestow upon you, that you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments as I command you this day. That you lose that humility, you lose that commitment, you take all of this for granted, you don't bow before him anymore. Amen? Because what happens when we compromise those things? Well, we begin to lose that place with God. We begin to lose those blessings. America is in a compromised state as a nation. Amen. And because of that, we're losing blessings. Make no mistake about it, Satan never overrides and overrules God in any issue. Amen? How many know Jesus is still Lord? Amen. Complete, absolute. What's happening in our nation right now is a wake-up call to not put our trust in the material and the physical, but in the spiritual and the eternal. The good news is, when you put your trust in the spiritual and eternal, God will take care of the material and the physical. If the kingdom is first, I heard someone preaching on the kingdom of God before we read this scripture, and they were using it as a faith formula to get stuff. It's not a faith formula to get stuff. Amen. It's all about the lordship of Jesus. Everybody say kingdom.
Kingdom.
Let's define that again this morning. The kingdom is the rule and the domain of a king. Can you say amen? A kingdom is not some mystical thing. It's a practical thing. The kingdom of God that's come within us is because we've accepted Jesus not as our Savior and then considering to what degree he will be our Lord. There's no place in the Bible you will find Savior and Lord. Everywhere you see that phrase used, it's always Lord and Savior. In fact, I do not believe that if you have an issue with Christ being the Lord of your life, I don't believe you've ever truly been saved. Why? Because you can't serve two masters. Bob Dylan said you've got to serve somebody. It might be the devil, it might be the Lord, but you've got to serve somebody. Can you say amen? And Jesus said, it's all or nothing. You can't serve two masters simultaneously. For you will love one and hate the other. Or you will hate one and love the other. You can't serve God and mammon. Everybody say mammon. Mammon is the first time in all of a scripture that the material blessings, good things, but when they're put before God, are literally given a name. And in that name, Mammon is represented all the self-indulgence of man who lives his life governed by his fallen nature and flesh. We have seen a shift in the paradigm from the kingdom of God and the things of God to just earthly things and material things. Let me remind you that they that are of the Spirit speak of the things of the Spirit, and they that are of the flesh, the things of the flesh. And it doesn't take you long to define where a ministry, the core values of a ministry, because the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I found out that God wants me blessed, but He wants me blessed first spiritually. And you know what? When I'm blessed spiritually, I don't have so many wants in the other areas of my life. Amen? Isn't it amazing? Godliness with contentment is called what? Everybody say the true riches. Amen? Having food and raiment, Christ and the kingdom of God, your name written down in the Lamb's book of life, the promise of heaven for eternity, therewith be what? Content. Amen. My son, let not thine heart envy who? Sinners. Let not thine eyes look after them. Let not thine heart envy them. Neither go thou after them. Can you say amen? Why would we want what the world has? Amen. The world needs what we have. Amen. God will bless us. And He's blessed me. And He's blessed you. Amen. Everyone in this room needs to go to a third world country at least one time in your life if you can. You need to go to India, Bangladesh. You need to go to Haiti. You need to go somewhere in this world other than America to see how blessed you truly are. We are blessed people this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And I'm so glad to know that I'm blessed. Now, I don't need to compete with anybody, compare with anybody. Praise God. It's so good to know that you know what I've found? The Bible said the kingdom of God is like a treasure that is hid in a field. When a man finds it for the joy thereof, he, listen to this, sells all that he has that he might possess the kingdom. He says, nothing else even is worthy to be compared with what I have when I discover what God offers me in Jesus Christ. Amen. Nothing has any value outside of that. Amen. The kingdom of God is like a pearl of great price. When a man finds it, he sells everything he's got that he might possess it. Amen. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not just something to indulge on your flesh, but it's righteousness. It is peace and it's joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Listen, if you've got a right standing with God and you can lay your head down tonight and know if your soul moves out of your body tonight that is going straight into the presence of God, you are standing on the high ground today. Can you say amen? You should never envy anybody. If you've got clothes and shelter and raiment, therewith be content. But we brought nothing into this world. And hey, newsflash, we can take nothing out of this world. I've conducted hundreds of funerals, never seen a U-Haul it behind a hearse. Amen? Never seen that. Told you about, I'm going to try to get back in the gym when I, you know, I'm not going to work every day and try to keep this old bone bag going for a little bit longer till the Lord's done with it. Amen. Hallelujah. But there, a guy used to come to a gym years ago when I went pretty faithfully, and he was a, you know, middle-aged guy, and he was coming in, and he worked on the machines, not with free weights, but he was just doing a little workout, and he had on a T-shirt. I really liked it because it said, I came into this world fat and bald-headed. And I'm going out the same way. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. You take nothing out of this world with you. Hallelujah. But do you know what? I'm going to take out of this world with me that is eternal, that is lasting. The people that have come to know Jesus Christ because we left Tampa Electric, we left the securities of a retirement and a company that is going to be in business as long as you turn those plasmas on. Can you say amen? And those microwaves and those lights and this air conditioning. Amen. But we left all of that. We never looked back. We left the only little piece of land we had and a little 60-wide trailer sitting on it. We sold out to Jesus. Amen. We came there, praise God, and we ministered the gospel of Jesus Christ so that people could come to know Him. And when I get to heaven, amen, I'm going to be rewarded. That's one thing I can take is the people that have come to Christ under this ministry. ministry. Amen. Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We will come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. And I believe, and this is just me, there's no Bible for this, but I believe the people that have come to Christ under this, I say, and not the Lord. You understand what I believe that they're going to line up, amen, over in a section here, and they're going to, and God is going to say, that is why you left your job. That is why you went through some things. That is why I called you to preach. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. And honey, it's going to be worth every day of it, every moment of it, the good, bad, and ugly parts of it. It's going to be worth it all just to see the people that have come to know Jesus. I'm extremely excited today about preaching Jesus over the airways again. I'm extremely excited about declaring Christ to you. I'm extremely excited about being able to spend more time preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want you to know what the kingdom of God it really is. It's the rule and the domain of a king. It is not a faith formula, as I heard one prominent preacher say recently, for receiving things from God. Amen. It is God's standard for every child of God. Jesus Christ is the king. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Can you say amen? And when we bow to his lordship and put his lordship above anything else in our life, amen, then we are seeking the kingdom of God and what? His righteousness.
Hallelujah.
Then all these things, which the Bible said don't even think about, take ye no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, or wherewith you shall be clothed. For your Father knoweth what you have need of. I remember not having but a couple of suits when I first went into ministry. And I remember on the front porch in a paper bag was rolled up. Amen. I went out on the front porch one morning, that little house behind the Holy Church of God, and there was a suit in there. Back then there was a brand name called Johnny Carson. It was a Johnny Carson suit. I didn't even know if it would fit me, but I had it cleaned at the laundry, put it on. Man, it fit me like just, I mean, everything fit perfect. Remember me talking about getting my Johnny Carson suit? God took care of a suit for the preacher. And then people used to just purchase a suit or help me to get, you know, God took care of all that. I just preached with what I had, did the best I could, put my best foot forward for Jesus. But God provided. God took care of it. We went on radio, amen, and put a coffee can in the back of the church. And as long as we stayed on the radio, God, people put money in the coffee can, and we hardly ever ministered. And one time I looked in the coffee can, it was empty. And I thought, well, we got to pay our radio bill. Amen. We were in Foundations for Faith. We got to pay that bill. And a lady came all the way from Wamama that listened to the broadcast. Brother Hodges was receiving the offering. Brother Hodges took the offering and counted it. Amen. He come running out on the platform, got down, whispered in my ear during the song service. He said, Brother Venable said there's $1,000 check in the coffee can for the radio ministry. Hallelujah. And he told me, he said, I have clerked and I have received offerings and been an elder in the Church of God down through the years, and I have never seen God provide like this. Amen. Well, why was God providing like that? Because we had no ulterior motive. We believe if you put your best foot forward for Jesus, if you exalt Jesus Christ, if you put his kingdom first and his righteousness, all these other things, he'll see to it. He'll take care of all that. Take ye no thought for your life, what you shall eat, drink, or wherewith you shall be clothed. Your Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom. Say it with me, the kingdom.
Kingdom.
The rule. Say it with me, the rule. And the domain of a king. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. That means to bow to the lordship of Jesus Christ in your life. Amen. And his righteousness. Job said, I put on righteousness. It clothed me. Every time I used to read that, I'd read, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. And being Pentecostal and having a Pentecostal slant on everything, filled to me meant filled with the Spirit of God, filled with power, filled with the gifts of the Spirit, filled with the anointing or the anointing. Can you say amen, as we used to call it? Hallelujah. Listen to me. Amen. But the subject of that sentence is not power filled. It's not the Holy Spirit. It's righteousness. If you're hungry for righteousness, God is going to fill you with righteousness. The good news is when you're right with God, hallelujah, you can be filled and controlled by the Holy Spirit. Everywhere it said filled with the Spirit, it doesn't mean you just get power. It means God gets a servant. You didn't hear me. You didn't hear me. I'm going to say it again. It doesn't just mean that you get full of God, but God gets a servant. Everywhere, without exception in your Bible, when you read it, anywhere it says full of the Holy Ghost, filled with the Spirit. In the actual Greek, it says it this way: filled with and controlled by the Holy Spirit. Everybody say filled with. And control by. See, the fill with is so simple. Amen. He said, he just breathed on them, said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. It's not just the filled with, it's the controlled by. Can you say amen? The Bible said God gave the Spirit to Jesus without measure. What was it? I mean, I know he was God incarnate, but because what was he portraying to us as an example? In the volume of the book it is written, I came to do thy will, O God. The words that I speak are not my words, but what I hear my Father saying. The works that I do, they're not even my works. I'm not arbitrarily doing things because I'm anointed and I've got the power of God and the authority of God. But what I see my Father do, controlled by, not just filled with, but controlled by. Can you say amen? What would happen if we were, what allows us to be controlled, not just filled with the Spirit, but controlled by the Holy Spirit? It's yielding, surrendering to the Lordship of Jesus. Amen. Seek the kingdom of God. That doesn't get out in some mystical stuff, and it's not some faith formula for getting stuff. It's God's standard for his people to live by so that he can lead us and bless us. We talked about the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Christ is a shepherd. We are the sheep of his pasture. But the only way he can bless us is to lead us. And the only way he can lead us is us to yield to him and follow. Can you say amen? He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Amen. It takes a meekness. It takes a surrender. There's a lot of the fruit of the Spirit that are underplayed. Yeah. Amen? That you rarely hear of, and one of them is meekness. Meekness. Everybody say meekness. When I preached in the jail system, you know, I remember the first day that I went in. You've heard this story before, but the first day I went in to train. I had never preached in the jail ministry before. I went in to train. So this man who already had an established jail ministry, he said, Brother Venable, you coming in? I said, yeah, I'm just coming to observe today because I've never ministered in this kind of circumstance before. I've ministered to church people and people off the street people, but I've never ministered, you know, in this kind of context. And I just want to sit back and just observe today. So he said, so I'm with this so-called seasoned guy, you know, and I walk in and I haven't really prayed up because he's going to do the speaking. And I'm just praying for my personal protection. Can you say? Because they blood typed me before they let me go in. Because this wasn't the Sundays when they let all the people on good behavior out. This wasn't the Sunday thing. Assistant warden came to our church and he allowed me to go in at any time and hold a meeting down in a holding cell. They broke all the cell blocks. And so I just said, Lord, and they had let me read a policy. The jail had a policy that if you're taken hostage, we do not negotiate. Because if we negotiate, you know, because then it will encourage them to take other people hostage. And we also want your blood type. I said, blood type hostage. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Amen. So I had prayed for my personal protection. I had prayed for him, for God to anoint him and use him. I had prayed for people to come to the Lord, but I hadn't prayed that I would have answers or preach, or because I was off the hook. I was going to sit and observe. And so I'm kind of sitting back here, and he said, we're going to go back to the Beatitudes. And I thought, well, I wouldn't necessarily preach on the Beatitudes. I don't know, you know, I just preach, try to get people saved. But, you know, so anyway, he opened his Bible, and he said, today we're going to talk about, and he read from the Scripture, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Immediately, a big burly guy in the back put up his hand. He said, yes, sir. So I'm observing, you know, I'm not really... this ought to be good. You know, he put up his hand. He says, if I was meek in here, I'd be dead by morning. And the guy just stood there with his Bible and his mouth open. And he said, we have a guest today. Pastor Venable is his name. Pastor Venable, I'm going to let you answer this. If I ever understood the scripture, be instant in season, out of season. Because I was unprepared. You know, sometimes God does his greatest stuff if you're unprepared. Amen. And you just have to rely on the Holy Ghost. I was praying coming in. I said, Lord, I can't reach this community out here. But when real revival comes, God will be everywhere. God can do it. It's not by might. What can we offer? Well, we're not here to compete with churches with 8,000 programs for this year. Amen. We're here to compete with the devil for souls that we are sent to reach for Jesus Christ. We're not in competition with anybody. We couldn't be if we tried. Can you say amen? But we can do what we can do for Jesus. And I'm determined to keep doing it until he comes, praise God. And I believe because we're faithful in this right here, I believe that's why he's opened the media door to us, praise God. I believe that's why we have two radio broadcasts sponsored, amen. And God is taking care of all of that, amen. I'm excited about what the Lord is doing. I'm excited about what he's going to do, amen. I've been prayed for probably 50 times with a promise when I've been prayed that the best part of this ministry is going to be in the latter years. Amen. And time keeps passing, marching on. I'm saying, okay, Lord. Okay, Lord. Okay. Amen. But I found out something about the Lord. He does everything in his timing. You know what he reminded me of? And we got a lot of years of ministry and a lot of people in the kingdom because we were faithful down at our little outpost on the corner. Can you say amen at that poor boys' lunch church just like this one? But let me tell you something. Amen. Jesus did what he did in 3 years. 3 years. 3 years. God wouldn't even turn him loose until he was 30. And he hung on the cross at the end of 33. So he was 33 hanging. 3 years is all he preached. 3 years is all he ministered. And yet in those 3 years, look what God did through that totally surrendered, yielded life. Can you say amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. God can absolutely. Amen. And the Lord told me something else too, because we went through nervous exhaustion and all the things that burn out. We didn't know how to balance anything. We didn't trust as purely as we should have and could have. But God in our weakness still worked, and he still was faithful. Can you say amen? But I will restore unto thee, said unto Israel, the years that the caterpillar, the canker worm, the locust have eaten from you. I will send you the former and the latter rain in a season. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And I've been just meditating on that in my spirit here lately. I believe, Sister Venable, we're in the process of the Lord restoring the years. Literally, it's been a blur, hadn't it? The last decade has just been a blur, but I believe God is in the process right now. I feel it in my spirit. Amen. I hope you feel it as I minister. I believe God's in the process of restoring the years that the caterpillar, the canker worm, the palmer worm, amen, and the locust hath eaten. I read that, amen. And when he talks about them, after he begins the restoration, amen, that larva to the full adult stage, amen, of the locust is reversed and it starts going in reverse. And I can feel the reversal of so many things, amen. God is changing and God is doing. I'm excited about the future. I know the times are tough. I don't know where all that's going to go, but amen, we've been teaching on the covenant and we're just about to get back into it in a minute here, but amen, we've been teaching on the covenant. Doug sent me an email, amen, that balanced it out and said, you want to trust the covenant or you want to trust the government? And he talked about what the government offered and what the covenant promised. And I'm going to tell you something. I pray for my government. I pray for our president. I pray for all those folks up there, but I don't trust them. Can you say amen? I just don't. I mean, I'm sorry. I wish I could. Amen. But I don't. And it's not that they're all evil and wicked and devious. It's that they can't solve everything. They're human beings. They have limitations. And one of the signs of the last day is distress of nations. with perplexity. What is perplexity? Puzzlement. We just don't know what to do to address these complex issues. They're still trying to figure out what happened. And everybody's pointing the finger, but it's too complex, Richard. It's an interwoven thing. Listen, what happened here was like a domino being tipped, and it started here, but it went global. We're not just having something happen in America. Something's happened globally in the economy. And did you know what's being set up through all of this, realizing that we are inextricably interwoven with, we can't be an autonomous, independent nation anymore. No nation can and hold out. The reason the wall came down in Russia is because of economics, period. It wasn't because of our nuclear superiority and they had to bow. No, it's because people were standing in line trying to get a loaf of bread in Soviet Russia. And they had to get involved in the global community, amen, and let that Iron Curtain wall come down, get that Berlin wall down, amen, or they were going to have a revolution within. Can you say amen? Everybody say it was economics. Economics brought it down. Economics brought it down. Listen to me carefully. I mean, we're in the last of the last days. I could never preach again that we're in the last days without pausing, amen, to clarify. Because we've heard that for years. We're not in the last days. We're in the last of the last days. Amen. His coming is at the door. How do you know? Because all the situations that needed to be in place for the man of sin to step out on the scene are coming into place right now. Can you say amen? It is very practical to wake up one morning and realize that the leaders of the world have come together to establish one global money system that all the nations might have financial stability, so that the yen and the Deutschmark, already in Europe they're seeing the value of unifying, and their monies come under one heading, the euro. And a day is coming when all money will come under one umbrella, and you won't buy and you won't sell if you don't get involved with the system. It's economic. And the shaking is already here. And the reshaping. Listen to me. A man is getting ready to step out on the scene. Can you say amen? And he is going to have the answer for all the perplexing problems. Because all the demons that are stirring it up are going to lay back. And he's going to usher in a pretend peace. And he's going to usher in a pretend utopia. Because the nations are going to begin to prosper again under his system. He's going to be a diplomatic genius, a military genius, an economic genius, because Satan is going to control him. Are you listening to me? But the fact that the man of sin is about to step out onto the scene, amen, points to something else. Amen. The scripture said, when you see these things begin to come to pass, lift up your head. Come on, church. Why? Your redemption draweth nigh. You know what a lost message is in the church that's caught up in the material and temporal? The lost message is that the coming of Christ is at the doors. Amen. When you live in the light of the soon coming of Jesus, amen, you live with an expectancy of his quick return. You want to travel light. You don't want your roots down in something that is passing. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Your heart is yearning for his coming. Maranatha becomes the watchword and the byword of the church that's been alerted by the Holy Spirit that his coming is at the doors. Maranatha means even so come, Lord Jesus. Can you say amen? Redeeming the time, because why? Now is our salvation. That means the deliverance of our body, the redemption of the whole of us, than it was before. We're closer to that. We're so close, and so many prophecies are in place, and there's so little preaching addressing that. We're addressing the house we have, the car we drive, the clothes we wear, the jewelry we wear, instead of the robe of righteousness. Can you say amen? I thank God I've got a wedding garment. And I didn't weave it myself through my religiosity and good works. It was granted to me. Amen. It was granted to her, the bride. It was granted to her. It was granted to her that she be clothed in white linen. Amen. For white linen is the righteousness of the saints. When you get hungry for righteousness, you're going to be filled with righteousness. The good news is when you're right, totally right with God, He takes care of all the details of your life. And you just concern yourself with staying right with God, bowing to the Lordship of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. What was the warning of Jesus? Beware lest your hearts be overcharged with surfeit and drunkenness, the cares of this life, that day come upon you unaware. For as a snare it shall come upon all the inhabitants of the earth. They're not going to be looking for it, and it's going to happen. They're not going to prepare for it. It's going to happen. They're not going to get a heads up. And when it happens, it's going to be sprung like a trap. Amen. But the Bible said don't get involved in what is blinding them to what's about to happen. And that's self-indulgence to the exclusion of the things of the kingdom, the things of the Spirit. If you be risen with Christ, Colossians 3:1, seek those things above where Christ sits on the light. Look at how the music has changed. Remember the old days? Remember? Amen. My heavenly home is bright and fair. Where's our hearts? Where were our hearts pointed constantly through the music, the preaching? It was always pointed upward, heavenward. Can you say amen? I feel like traveling on. When I went to the Holy Church of God and I had a good job, good position with Tampa Electric, amen, I knew that when I gave that up and stepped out on faith, took a little inner city church, amen, sold our property, sold out to Jesus. This is a pretty big step. So I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, and I said, Lord, I want you to, because I just read about the Macedonian man. And the Macedonian man, you know, he said, come over and help us. And I said, Lord, I'm going to sit here at this church today. They think they want me as a pastor and all this. I know what all that involves. But, Lord, you're going to have to speak to me. You're going to have to do something real clear, because I can't do this. Even if there's any doubt at all that this is really you, amen, I'm going to leave my security. I'm going to put my family and everything in your hands, my future, everything. So I sat back there, and I was feeling pretty confident. And it wasn't going to happen. And I was off the hook. Because the whole service had went, and not one thing. Sister White preached. She didn't say nothing about no Macedonian man. Amen. And they'd had the song service, and it was over, and they're getting down near the end of the service. And I don't know if it was you. It might have been you. I don't know who it was. But they said, let's sing this song out of the book. And they opened up the book, and it was Send the Light. Our first radio broadcast was titled off of that, Send the Light. Amen. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine. I'm singing shore to shore. I'm off the hook. I don't have to leave Tampa Electric. I don't have to pastor. I can just preach and run. Amen. Amen. Are you listening? I mean, I was actually feeling pretty good about not having it confirmed. Yeah. I knew some pastors, and anyway, let's don't even go there. God's been good to yours, and you've been good to me. Amen, most of you, all of you, anyway. God is good. I had a flashback, but anyway, God is good. God has been so good. Sung the first verse, second verse, I think the third verse of that song, somewhere in there after the first verse. I'm standing there, nothing about the Macedonian man in this service. I have heard the Macedonian call today, send the light. Oh, Lord. We looked at each other and said, God done put his finger on me. Hallelujah. And that began this journey that brought us to this place. And I'm going to tell you something. Amen. We've seen the paradigm change from the things of the Spirit and the things of heaven to the things of the earth. Amen. They that are of the flesh do what? Speak of mind the things of the flesh. Amen. They see the God. They even see the Scripture in a different lens. They're looking at it through a different lens. But they that are of the Spirit, amen, what are they concerned about? Amen. The things of the Spirit. Can you say, man, we're looking at the same gospel, but we're looking through a different lens. And I want you to know the correct lens is not the lens that sees this world that is transient, that's passing away, but sees that kingdom, hallelujah, that cannot be moved. Can you say amen? And having a kingdom that cannot be moved, we speak with all boldness. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is something death doesn't cancel and death cannot conquer. Hallelujah. Amen. And it's better than anything the world can offer, because all of that's shaky. There's a lady in Lakeland that won one of those home and garden things where you went. She won a $2 million home in California, dream home. Lady in Lakeland. You know what her concern was right after winning it? taxes are $20,000 a year. So how do you, and that's before the light bill on the big sucker. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? So if they give it to you, you got to turn around and sell it and get real. Can you pay $20,000 a year taxes? And the light bill? And the water bill on that big thing? I couldn't sell that sucker. Get something you can live in without the pressure. So she's got to put it up for sale. I don't think she said I can keep it according to the ledger. $20,000 a year taxes. Can you imagine? How much do you have to put up a month? $2,000 almost? $1,800? $1,700? Just for the taxes. Dear Lord, that's not a gift. That's a burden. Don't even let me look in it because then I'm going to feel sad that I can't live in it. You're hurting me. Sorry I won. No, I'd sell it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Put some money in the bank. Get me a house I can afford. They that are of the flesh, mind the things of the flesh. They that are of the spirit, the things of the spirit. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Let others seek a home below which flames devour and waves overflow. Amen. You see those fires in California burning up mansions. And you say, I'm glad I got a mansion that's safe from the fire. Hallelujah. You see the floods and the mudslides tearing down beautiful homes. And you say, I'm glad. I'm so glad I've got something that cannot be touched by any of this. Praise God. And I'm glad I've got a heart that says I've got food and raiment. I've got shelter. Amen. And I've got Jesus. And I'm seeking those things that are above where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Colossians 3 and verse 2. Amen. If you be risen with Christ, if you have been quickened by His Spirit, if your sins have been forgiven, seek those things above where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on the things of the earth. Can you say amen? If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Amen. I'm not talking about just... He's not talking about not enjoying a nice home, enjoying a nice car, enjoying a nice meal. What he's saying is don't let that be everything in your life. Yes. Let that be secondary. Let Christ be your everything. The kingdom be your everything. And if you do that, he said, the Father knows what you have need of. And you won't have to think about it. He'll take care of all of that. The kingdom is first. He took care of us when we put the kingdom first. He took good care of us. He took better care of us than Tampa Electric would have taken Amen. Care of us. God is good. Well, what are you going to do about your retirement? God is going to provide. Period. End of story. He's done it to this point. I have no reason to doubt. First service at the church is 12 people, and 6 of them hated me for coming. Yes. Yeah. Right. I remember that. Yeah. And God did it, didn't He? God did it. God did it. In spite of it all, God did it. I'm so thankful to Him. In these days, in these last days, we need to move in to that area with God where we get back to where we're supposed to be as Christians. What are we supposed to be zeroing in on right now? When you see these things begin to come to pass, lift up your head. Get a spirit of expectancy. Your redemption is drawing nigh. I can't get into the covenant thing. God won't let me this morning. Beware lest your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting drunkenness and the cares of this life, that day come upon you as a thief. That means it's possible for us to follow the lead of the world and not be ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. Be ye also ready, for in an hour ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Amen. If the master of house would have known what hour the thief was going to come, he wouldn't have suffered his house to be broken into. Yeah. If he had had knowledge. Among David's mighty men were the sons of Issachar, men of understanding of the times that Israel might know what to do. I am absolutely convinced we have men and women in pulpits that do not understand the times. Yeah. How do you know? Are you judging? I'm not judging. I am telling you, I'm not hearing that the coming of the Lord is at the doors. I'm not hearing that we're in the last of the last days, and yet His coming is at the doors, and we are in the last of the last days. I'm not hearing, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things above. I'm hearing about things beneath, and wearing that as a badge of our spirituality. I drove in today in my father-in-law's 96 Cadillac. The brethren here got me last Sunday. I drove up in the Cadillac because I had taught about this guy on TV that said, you know, I started out with Volkswagen faith. Now here we are in the last days. The coming of the Lord is at the doors. Amen. We're warned about self-indulgence. We're warned about self-indulgence to the exclusion and the numbing of ourselves to His coming. And he said he got Cadillac, he got Volkswagen faith, and then he got, Lincoln Town Car faith, and then he got Cadillac faith, and then he moved on to Rolls Royce faith. And I thought, boy, oh boy, here we are, here we are, here we are, earthbound, absolutely, the things of the flesh consume us. That becomes integrated into our message, and it's, oh, listen, folks, we're one breath, you're one heartbeat away from eternity. Amen. Amen. O shalaboko sondara masile ma. Ne koro shalamani teta. Le koro boho sondara ba. God loves you. Make no mistake about it. He cares about what you eat, drink, and wherewith you shall be clothed. Amen. Listen to me. But He cares more about your soul than any of these things, and so should you. He puts a premium on where you're going to spend eternity. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He cares about the things that a lot of people seem to push aside. He cares about you. You know how much He cares about you? The very hair of your head is numbered. Amen. I feel so rich in Him today to have that kind of watch care over my life. Praise God. I don't envy anyone who doesn't know Christ, no matter what they have. Bill Gates is worth $58 billion. $58 billion of his personal wealth. Head of Microsoft. When asked about religion, what is your faith? What is your religion? What do you believe? He said, in the sheer allocation of time, I have no time for religion. He will one day. There's a man in the Bible that said he fared sumptuously every day. He had barns that were so full they were running over. You know what he said? He said, I'm going to tear down these barns, and I'm going to build me bigger barns to hold it all. And Jesus is looking at this scenario, and he said, and Jesus knew the moment that man was going to die and draw his last breath. And you know what he said? He said, thou fool, this night, tonight, when you lay down in your bed, you're not going to wake up in that bed and carry out those plans the next morning. This night, your soul is going to be... That's why righteousness is so vitally important. Being right with God is the greatest thing that anyone can ever do in life, regardless of what their vocation is after that. It doesn't. That's immaterial compared to being right with God. Hallelujah. This night your soul is going to be required of thee. Then who shall these things be? What will this mean when you stand before God? The Bible spoke about standing there in the shame of our nakedness. It's not just our nudity. It's the fact that all of our sins are open before Him and we have no defense. No defense at all. But there is a robe that is offered us, that we might stand before Him in a robe. And Job, in that ancient book of Job, said, I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. There's a garment that is granted to the bride of Christ called the wedding garment. Amen. It is a robe of righteousness. The Bible said when Jesus come, the armies of heaven will follow Him. And that's us, not just angels. How do you know? Because they're clothed in white raiment. And white raiment is the righteousness of the saints. Hallelujah. Told you last week they laid off 20, 23, 24 people in a small group of people, and they cut the workforce. They had already cut it before. They cut it again. And there's a man standing there that thought his whole future was going to be in the company. Amen. He's a company man. He always has been. Joe Company. And the company, you know, you take care of the company will take care of you. Yeah, right. Amen. Well, you know, people are finding out in these times, you're nothing. Your retirement is nothing. Amen. None of that matters. That's all out the window. And he was standing in the locker room, and he had this look on his face because he was having to go and get the uniforms out of the people that had been laid off and make sure that, you know, they charged them if they had one pair of pants missing. Incredible callousness and coldness. And he's standing there, and I looked at him, and we made eye contact. And in all of those years, 12 years of working there, which is about to come to an end, but 12 years of working there, amen, I'd never seen him mention God, have an allusion to God, have an allusion to Christianity. But this time he was sober, he was very sincere, and he looked me in the eye and he said, Rev, he said, I am so glad that I am right with God. And I know something has happened in his life. And if there's a silver lining to this economic shakeup, people are thinking, amen, about things other than just the material. When all the material begins to shake, there's something that doesn't shake. We have received a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Everybody say, a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Hallelujah. Amen. And the good thing about seeking that kingdom is all this stuff that shakes, he said, the Father himself is going to see to all of that. If you put that first, his kingdom. Say it again, the rule and domain of a king. Well, who is our king? Jesus is our king. Amen. He is to be the Lord of our life. It means to seek his lordship, not to resist it or make some kind of compromises. Lord, you give me this, I'll give you a little. No, Lord, I surrender. Someone said the altar and the communion table is not where you come to make deals with God. It's where you come to agree to unconditional surrender. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God's not going to hurt you, put you in some kind of religious box. God's going to set you free from the flesh. And your heart won't be overcharged. If you go out and enjoy a good meal today, do it without guilt, please. I mean, don't. Don't let nobody on TV tell you got to look like Twiggy. Amen. But if Jesus is the Lord of your life, you can enjoy life. He came to give you life and that more abundantly. You're right with God. Hallelujah. You can eat your food and it'll stay down. You won't have to take Maalox with it. Amen. Give me a double cheeseburger with 3 strips of bacon. And a Maalox milkshake. Can you say amen? I'm glad I know Jesus today. Jesus loved that man whose eyes were blinded to the eternal things. He wanted to save him, would have saved him. It's how foolish it is to not make preparation for the day when your heart stops, the day when your spirit leaves your body. We got better things to talk about than things of a transient world. We're nearing Easter Sunday. Remember the Easter Sunday when a tidal wave hit the islands and the nations, and hundreds of thousands of people were swept away, and no one saw it coming. With all of our satellites, seismographs, no one saw it coming. They said it was one of the most beautiful, peaceful Easter Sunday mornings you had ever saw. Amen. And the Bible, I thought of the book of the ancient book. Amen. Where they did not know till the flood came, the time of Noah. Jesus said, it's going to be like that in the last day. It's going to be just like that. They ate, they drank, they married, and they builded. And I thought, well, that's what we all do. That's living our life. What is wrong with eating, drinking, building, marrying, giving in marriage? Were these the paramount sins that brought such a horrendous judgment? See, they did all that to the exclusion of God. Surfeiting drunkenness, the cares of this life. Jesus is describing all of these things that is just for the flesh, period. With nothing for our spirit. Oh, I long to hear preachers in the pulpit again. That will point us toward Him and toward heaven. Hallelujah. We need to be right with God. It's righteousness. His kingdom is righteousness. It's peace. When you have the peace with God, you can achieve the peace of God. Hallelujah. I want to be able to be an optimist in a time when everybody's so pessimistic. You know what David said about you and me? The righteous. Everybody say the thoroughly right with God. Make no mistake about it. That's what it means. Praise God. Amen. I'm young and now I'm old. And I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Never seen his seed begging bread. Can you say amen? Whether it's a meal barrel that never goes empty or a cruse of oil that never pours out. Amen. Or a raven with meat and bread bringing it to you. Amen. He said, God, will, whether it's manna coming down out of heaven or water coming up out of the rock, God has taken care of his own. Can you say amen? So everybody say, God has taken care of his own. Say it again. God has taken care of his own. Hallelujah. And he does today. That's why I want to seek his righteousness. Seek the Lord till he come and rain Mercedes on you. Rolex is upon thee. Seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon thee. I put on righteousness, it clothed me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who are these in the book of Revelation? These are they who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Can you say, man, it's so good to be right with God. When that man, all these years, I never heard him allude to Christianity, God, in any abstract term. Suddenly he's been shaken because everything he's trusted in has been shaken. Somewhere along the way, he's gotten right with God. What do you say, amen, about somebody dying in a hospital? What is the greatest thing you can hear from the family? What is it? That they got what? They got what? They got what before they died? Just before they died, they lived a life. But what happened? What happened? What happened that was more important than any achievement or anything else? They got right with God. Can you say, amen? Oh, that we could return to the days when we could hear it preached and proclaimed. Amen. Getting right with God is not a negative. Amen. It's not something outdated. It's not something we don't need to hear. We need to hear it now more than ever. Can you say, amen? Righteousness exalts a nation. That's why America at one time was so great. But sin is a reproach to any people, and we're not excluded from that. But if we return to righteousness, if we get hungry for it again, the Bible said we're going to be filled with righteousness. When we're filled with righteousness, you can be filled with and controlled by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. And the Father can father you because he can lead you and you'll follow him where he leads you. In the day of famine, I'm going to close with this. In the day of famine, this is about the third closing, but you know how I am. In the day of the great famine, amen, that prophet had to be led somewhere to be provided for. It wasn't just God doing it. He had to follow exclusive instructions. Go down to the brook Cherith, for I have commanded the ravens. The God of the universe has commanded the ravens to feed thee where? Where are the ravens going to show up? Cherith. Where's that guy got to go to get fed? Cherith. He said, I've commanded them already to feed you there. If you're not there, you can't eat. Come on. But I've made the provision there for you. So there is where you need to get. Can you say amen? So when he got down to where God led him to be, amen, what happened? The ravens brought him morning and evening. Praise God. Goes to show you should eat two meals a day. Amen. Morning and evening. Brought him bread and flesh. Where were they getting that? Amen. I believe they flew into the windows of the king's chamber, stole it off of that big old table full of, because how many know the rich eat well when the rest of us are struggling? Yeah. Amen. I believe they flew in that window and grabbed a big piece of roast and a big chunk of bread and tore off with it. And the king said, where in the world did them birds come from? Somebody closed them windows. Amen. But God popped them windows open again. Them birds flew in again. Got them in the afternoon. Got them in the evening. Amen. They took it back in the kitchen. The birds come in there and they took it. Amen. And every day he's eating every day. And guess what happened? Amen. Because this is all about following God. It's so vital that He be the Lord of our life and we can be led of the Spirit. Amen. The brook dried up. The brook dried up. You got your food, but now you don't have any water. Amen. You got to leave this area. But this is where the ravens are coming. But I got to have water. What do I do? Amen. God speaks to him again. He said, I want you to go down to Zarephath. For I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain you. First he sent him to Cherith, and now he sends him to Zarephath. And where is he going to get fed? Where's the command of God on? Zarephath. You can't go anywhere you want to and use your faith formulas. You got to bow to Jesus before you believe. Can you say, man, you can't do your thing and claim promises. You got to follow the Lord. Can you say, man, where's the command? Where's that commanded blessing? When you by obedience bow to me and go down to Zarephath. When he got down there, he meets the woman. And the woman don't know she's under the command of God yet. Can you say amen? And he says, woman, give me to eat. You know. And the woman said, listen, man, I got one cake. Amen. That's the only thing between me and my son and death is one cake. Amen. But she, by faith, amen, offered to share it with him. And she took that meal barrel, pulled out enough to make that cake, baked it. They cut it three ways. They all eat it. Amen. And she said, well, this is it. Hallelujah. Amen. But went back to the meal barrel. Amen. And it's got meal in it. And throughout the entire family at Zarephath, amen, that meal barrel never went empty. I believe in times like these, we're going to see the supernatural more than we've ever seen the supernatural. Why? Because when we can't, amen, and there's a promise of God and we're right with Him, God is going to do whatever is necessary. If it's bringing water out of a rock, if it's bringing, amen, multiplying fish and loaves, whatever He has to do, He's going to do, but it's vital that we be led by the Lord. And that means we need to get back to His lordship, His righteousness, His kingdom again. The lady on TV said, His kingdom is His method of operation. It is His way of doing things. And once you discover His method of doing things, then you can use your faith. All of it was to manipulate God rather than to bow to the lordship of Jesus. It was to claim promises out of all context. When Israel was right with God, every promise was yea and amen. When Israel got turned wrong with God and tried to claim promises, their enemies prevailed. Noah, the eighth from Adam, a preacher of righteousness. Somebody say a preacher of righteousness. Hallelujah. What did those people need that flood took away? They needed to be right with God. And he was telling them how. What did Felix hear when Paul preached? When Paul was done, when Paul was done preaching, he reasoned of righteousness, the number one thing, temperance and judgment to come, and trembled. Can you say amen? What did Paul preach? Righteousness. What did Noah preach? Righteousness. What are we called to seek? Righteousness. That we might be filled with what? Righteousness. We seek the Lord till He comes and rains water upon us. Righteousness. I'm young and now I'm old and I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread, because the righteous are bowing to God and God is leading them. And He leads me beside still water and makes me to lay down in green pasture. Hallelujah. Nothing wrong. Hallelujah. Say it again. There's nothing wrong. How did we get this negative spin on it? Repentance, returning to God, getting right with God. And people are dying up in ICU. Believe me, there's nothing wrong with getting right with God. I've heard people repent of a lot of things in all of these years of ministry. I've never heard anyone, Sister Kathy, say, oh, I'm sorry I lived my life for Jesus. I missed a lot of sin, a lot of parties, and a lot of good times. No siree, I've never heard that, and I never will hear that. It is so good when you know all this is passing, you can't hold on to it, to know that you've got heaven, and you've got Him, and you've got eternal life, and to be absent from this body that is failing is what? To be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not true, I would have told you. Amen. I go away to prepare a place for you. He's pointing us heavenward. Hallelujah. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Where a man's treasure is, that's where his heart's going to be. Hallelujah. And my treasure is in heaven. And my treasure's in Him. All my treasures are in you. Praise God. The Antichrist is poised. I believe he's alive. I believe he is poised. I believe a man is getting ready to step out on the scene in a world that is war-weary, men's hearts failing for fear, looking at the things which are coming upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. I believe the world is weary, fearful, and I believe they're looking for somebody to step out on the scene. The world at large is not looking for Christ. They're looking for a man. And Satan is preparing a man in the wings. And he's going to step out on the scene, and he's going to have the solution. And friend of mine, it's coming. And if that is coming, and we're very close, the coming of Christ is near, even at the doors. And there ought to be a message of alarm and alert coming from, there are people with platforms that could stir Christians to seek God until He come and rain righteousness on us. Call America to repentance. Righteousness did what to this nation? What God promised. It exalteth a nation. Amen. But sin is what? It's what brought Rome down. It's brought all Babylon down. It's brought Egypt down. Can you say, man, the great nations in history that rose to heights like America has, sin brought them down. Amen. But listen, righteousness exalteth a nation. And there should be a cry today for righteousness. Praise God. Don't we serve a great and good God? What about you today? What about your life? If you draw your last breath today, where would you spend eternity? What is all the rest going to matter? There's a God who loves you, who gave His Son for you. There's a Christ who loved you enough to not just die for you, an execution, a simple execution, but to be tortured to death for you. His visage was marred more than any man. Psalm 22 is His passion on the cross, prophetically. They plowed my back. They made the furrows long, one scripture said, of what was happening during the beating before He even was impaled upon that cross. Because of that beating, they stripped skin from His ribs. Literally, the shards of glass, pottery and metal in the end of the braided leather wrapped around Him. When they jerked it back, they tore hunks of flesh from His side. Prophetically, it said in the Old Testament, my bones stare out of me. You can see my rib cage. His visage, His visible image was marred more than any man's, because all of the wrath of God was being visited upon Him for all our sins and the sins of people to come. He became the curse. The chastisement of our peace was placed on Him. In a compressed 6 hours of time, Jesus took the punishment for our sins. That's what keeps the flame of the first love burning bright in my heart. It's not the physical things He does for me, the material things. Don't get me wrong, I enjoy blessings. But the great blessing beyond compare, the unspeakable gift, the indescribable worth of having God come down, take on flesh, go to the cross, and suffer that kind of pain for me. For me. Who had sinned against Him, rejected Him. literally shoved him away every time he came near. And for him to love me that much, I owe him my everything. I owe him my all. And I freely give it. I want to be right with him. Hallelujah. Righteousness exalts a nation. Would you bow your heads just for a moment? We're going to close this service. I'm going to ask a question. Is there anyone in here that needs to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? So that what he did for you already will not be in vain. To know you have eternal life. Would you just lift your hand? Let God see it this morning. Is there anyone here? Anyone here? All right. We're going to move on. Not going to push that issue. How many here believe we're living in the last days without us having to do a whole lot more preaching? As it was in the day of Lot, so shall it be in the day that the Son of Man cometh. As it was in the days of Noah. What marked those days? What Jesus talked about that we should be watchful for. They were caught up in just this life and just indulging themselves with no concern for eternity and where they would spend it. Surfeiting, drunkenness, cares of this life is eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage. That's not sin in itself until we do that to the exclusion of where we're going to spend eternity and acknowledging God and his place in our life. And the whole world is living that lifestyle right now. The cares of this life will do something in your relationship with God. The Bible said it will choke the word. You can sit in church Sunday after Sunday and hear good quality preaching, but the cares of this life will choke the word. If you don't have the kingdom first in your heart, the word of God is going to be like weeds choking out little seedlings. It's going to choke it out. You're going to go home, and instead of bearing fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold, those mighty, progressive, powerful changes are not going to come. You're going to go home and go right back in to all the concerns of this present world. Demas left Paul when the pressure got on, having loved what? This present world. We used to sing, "Take this whole world and give me Jesus. I won't look back. I won't look back." Seeing that you know these things will shortly come to pass, what manner of men and women ought ye to be? Don't let the world shape your values. Don't let the world get you caught up in its momentum. Let me call you aside to myself that I may keep you in this dangerous, dark day, saith the Spirit of God. I'm so glad to be covered under his feathers, Sister V. I see him coming in the sky. We're going to change our format. You have that. Amen. I want you to stand your feet. We're going to sing a song. If you leave, leave reverently. Praise God. Most of us know this song. God has pointed us to the soon coming of Jesus and the importance of being right with him and being ready for his coming. Amen? 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 Amen. This is not my message. This is the message that should be paramount to the church of Jesus Christ in the last days. If this is the last days. Amen? I still long to hear it. We're coming up on Resurrection Sunday. Oh, what it means to us. Praise God. Amen. I wouldn't miss it for a beach party. I wouldn't miss it for anything, a smorgasbord at some fine restaurant. Do that after church. Praise God. But oh, hallelujah, how I celebrate the fact that death has been conquered. Can you say amen? Longer we live, the more people pass on. It's so good to know where they are and that it's well with my soul on the other side. Praise God. Praise God. How many want to be ready for the coming of Jesus? How many want to see an authentic revival before he comes? Hallelujah. Amen.